Chinatowns, Episode 7.
Mr. Price, whose men are these? Do you know?
Couldn't tell you, Mr. Miners. It started early, though.
Still no word on the cause of the fire?
No, but it was no accident. That's common knowledge.
It's a pity.
It was the house you've got, even though it wasn't our house. It's a shame that such a thing could happen in this town.
Morning! It's a sad day to see our chapel no more than dust.
Aye. Do you know who gave the order that the ruins should be broken down, miss?
We did.
You did?
Our primitive community. We must level the ground if we are to rebuild.
Rebuild?
Our congregation must have a place to meet.
No one wants more trouble in the town, Cassie.
You're right, Mr. Price. But we can't just leave, can we? We can't just run away.
Your father mustn't go near business, Edwin. You'll have to be strict about that.
That won't be easy, Doctor.
On no account whatever, but I don't think he'll want to do too much.
He's been so much better these last few months.
An illness such as this ebbs and flows. It's to be expected.
And how long am I to keep him away from the works?
I'm afraid there's not much chance of him being able to go back.
Is it really so bad?
You need to know. He may not live long.
I see.
Of course, you might want to get other advice, a specialist.
I don't think... If you're sure.
He needs rest and looking after. I'll send up some medicine. He'll like it.
You'll come again soon?
I'll look in often from now on.
I'll walk a little way with you. He'll be difficult to deal with.
I don't think so. This softening of the brain takes people different ways, but mostly it can be managed.
A softening of the brain?
Very commonplace.
We'll think about a specialist, but if you're sure...
I'm afraid so. I see it all too often. Well, good day, Edwin.
Good day.
Sit down, Mr. Yarlett. There's tea in the pot.
Thank you, Cassie. Is it true your chapel is to be rebuilt?
Aye, it is.
Well, so it can be set fire to again?
If needs be.
You could go and preach in another town, in another chapel.
Well, that's what they want, to see the end of us. What's so bad about what we're saying that they want to silence us?
Oh, God. Don't you see, Cassie Wayman? What you're asking for is heaven on earth, to turn the world... topsy-turvy.
What we're asking for is justice, Mr. Yarlett. God and righteousness go hand in hand. Decent work and fair pay, they are God's business. They are everyone's business.
Would you tear the town apart to make the world a better place?
Remember my Richard singing in The Dragon?
Aye.
He died coughing blood. The dust from the pot bank eating him alive. I have to be his voice too. I'm speaking for both of us. I'll not stop.
Let's try to get the Boster Corder out by the last train if we can manage it, James.
Yes, sir.
Might I ask, sir, is Master in a bad way?
I'm afraid, sir.
Perhaps I'm making too bold, but I did hear the old gentleman was taken poorly in the street.
That's so, but you needn't talk about it.
Look, that I shall not. I know he has his faults like other men, but for more than 20 years I've worked with him, and he's been good to me.
Thank you.
I know what it is, the cerebral softening. You'll have trouble, Mr. Edwin.
The doctor said not.
You'll have trouble, if you'll excuse me saying so, but it's a good thing he's got you. It's providence, Mr. Edwin, as you're not a married man and will have the time for it.
Well, I was nearly married once.
You know. Well, sir, thank you for all that you might do for your poor father.
Mr. Clayhanger.
Mr. Miners. How can I help you?
Mr. Banks has asked me to drop these off to you for the service of giving thanks.
Of course. It's not a festival I'm familiar with.
Mr. Banks feels we must make an effort to draw the town together.
Do you think that's necessary, Mr. Miners?
This blessed fire has driven a wedge between us, neighbour upon neighbour.
There's talk it might have been someone from outside.
A hothead in The Dragon the other night was shouting about revolution, and how the next thing we'll know it'll be war, as they have in Paris.
England at war? over the burning of one little chapel.
Wars have been started for less.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Miners. I've just seen someone. My assistant will look after you. Oh, Mr. Tellwright! Mr. Tellwright!
Aye. What is it?
I expect you heard about Father. Everyone else seems to have.
I don't partake in town gossip.
Something's happened. Father's been taken very poorly.
Well, but it's a chill or a bout of the palsy.
It's much more serious than that. Dr. Heave says he might not have long.
Well, what do doctors know? Nothing.
If you could just have a word.
I'm busy, don't you understand? And good day.
Good day.
Madame! Madame Scales, we should not be out. It's dangerous.
We cannot stay inside and starve. We must eat, madame.
If only we had a man to protect us. They say the city is surrounded. What do you think of what might happen?
A man, in my opinion, is the last thing we need.
There can be trouble, it's true. But they do have their uses. Ah, there are such stories. Women everywhere abused.
Madame, we must make a decision.
Yes?
We can give up everything, close down our boarding house, go into our cellar and starve to death. Or we can live.
But life is everything.
Then follow me. We need vinegar, and today I am determined to find it.
Vinegar? Because you wish to make pickles?
We want to attract a more respectable lodger. Our linen is grey and old. Vinegar will restore it. Oh. I grew up in a house where the curtains had to be washed every other week. There's nothing I don't know about how to bleach cloth.
Oh, madame, you are a wonder. They say the Germans will be here any day.
So they say.
Monsieur Segal at the bakery yesterday was chipping all the ends of the front of his shop.
The ends?
Oh, the Garde Nationale do not like Monsieur Napoleon. To have an end on your house, it's madness. Oh, let's go via the square. There's trouble up ahead.
If there's fighting, they must be fighting over something. Come on.
Regarde, Pascal! Des gonzesses! Toi, tu prends la vieille!
Allez-vous-en!
Get out of our way!
Mais non, mes petites. T'as la chance aujourd'hui.
Foutez-nous la paix!
Tell him we work at the plague hospital.
Nous travaillons à l'hôpital pour pestiférer.
The plague? La peste! We sit with the dying.
C'est affreux.
Bah, c'est des mensonges.
Maybe we are lying. Maybe we're not. Come and take your chances. Kiss me. Bisous.
Va-t'en, salope.
Oh, dear God.
We're unharmed.
We should get a gun.
I'll look for one directly after I find the vinegar.
I met Mr. Tellwright in the street. I thought he might come and see the dad.
He's lost interest since his wife died.
They've known each other since they were boys.
Drink some of this tea, Edwin. Clara and Albert have been visiting. They want your father to make a will.
How do they know he hasn't made one?
Has he?
Well, I have no idea. He doesn't talk to me about his affairs.
They want him asked.
Well, let them ask him then. I won't.
You know what this is about. You'll inherit everything if there's no will to say otherwise.
Well, what do I care for that?
They're both very serious about it. Albert has always had great ambitions with not enough means to fulfil them.
They disgust me. They go buttering him up in the drawing room while downstairs they think of nothing but their inheritance. Don't you agree with me, Auntie?
I do. It should be left for a bit.
Let them mention it to me and I'll tell them a thing or two.
Edwin, I worry for you. Looking after your father like this.
Oh, I'm all right, Auntie.
But what of your life? Marriage? Children?
Marriage? When am I meant to find a wife?
You are aware that Janet...
Janet?
Janet Orgreave is in love with you.
Janet? She's the last person I can see wanting to marry a printer from Bursley. I'm surprised she hasn't left to live in a commune in Russia by now.
She's in love with you, Edwin. It's plain to see.
I can't believe you. I'll go and look in on Dad now before bed. Dad? Are you asleep? Dad? Auntie! The dad isn't in his room. He must have gone out.
It's about time.
What the...
Make way, man. I'm coming in.
I suppose you're not meant to be drinking whiskey with you being on your last legs.
Well, you suppose wrong. Well, I'm not here to talk about me.
Well, that's something anyway.
Is this what it's come to, man? I have to drag myself out of my sick bed to come over here and tell you to get a grip.
I'm not in need of a sermon, Darius.
You bloody are. You have two children and you're moping around like a girl. I heard my boy talking about you yonder in the house.
My wife died.
And I'm sorry about it. More sorry than I can say. But you've two bairns who need a father.
They have a father.
No, they don't. You're like a shadow of yourself. And I wouldn't mind, but you have to get a grip, man, for your children.
I don't want the children. I want Ruth.
I know. But children is what you've got. Even if we don't recognise ourselves in them, they're all we have. If you don't take care of your girls, Ephraim, you'll be like our fathers.
She was the only one who ever loved me.
Have you thought of what she'd want? Ruth? For Anna and the babby?
I'll see they're provided for. They won't have to struggle. I'll meet my responsibilities. But don't ask me to find joy again, Darius. The joy of the world is lost to me.
All right, then. All right. That's something.
You should be at home, man, in your bed.
I'll be lying down long enough when I'm dead.
You remember when we were children, the two of us burying that crow up in the stone field?
And you did a sermon.
Did I?
Well, these days I remember everything. It's like the person I used to be has moved into the house. I see him raking the fire and lying in the bed beside me. I see him sitting in the dragon after Edwin was born and Big James singing. Singing sweetly and completely songs of pleasure and of love. For my heart is with her altogether, though I live not where I love. Is this what growing old is?
What, man?
That everything comes to look unfamiliar. Even ourselves.
Madame, where are you going?
Oh, my dear. I came looking for you. I have so much to tell you.
Well, tell me now.
I was on the boulevard, so I might take a little air. And who should I meet? My young man. Yes, we fell into each other's arms. He is going to Brussels. He's a person of influence, you see. And he's asked me to go with him. He said he adores me, he realizes now. And he is the grand passion of my life. I am happy. He spent 2,000 francs on my clothes.
So you're leaving?
Oh, forgive me. Forgive me, but you are much more suited to this venture than I. You see, I must be loved.
I see.
Don't think badly of me. Have you never been swept off your feet? Enchanted?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Then you know. You know. He is my dream, and I am no longer young, so I must take my chances. What is life if we do not take our chances?
Oh, of course, you must go. I wish you every happiness.
Oh, madame. One day... all women will be loved. This is my prayer. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Singing sweetly and completely songs of pleasure and of love.
Henry!
All right, Dad. What's the matter?
I've not put the light out down yonder. Up and you'd better put it out.
I have, Dad. Nothing to worry about.
What time is it?
Getting on for midnight. Where were you earlier? We were worried about you.
Is my watch beside my bed?
Yes. Try to go to sleep now.
Good boy.
What?
Well, I like to know the time.
Good night, Dad.
The light's on down yonder.
Yes, Dad. I'll turn it down.
My heart is with you all together, though I live not where I love.
Emily! Em! The babby's wakened! Can you not hear?
All this mithering. You'll have the whole town wakened. And the night's for sleeping, not bawling. Luke. Hey, there's the boys off to the kilns. With their own to work in the wind and the rain. Now they'd like to be tucked up in bed like you. Carrying clay and loading carts with naught but a bit of bread to fill them up. My mother used to cry when I came home and looked such a sight. I were a babby once too. There now. You'll never have to labour like they. Your path will be easy in this life, child. Your father will make it so.
Jarib! Qui est là?
Madame?
Monsieur Chirac! Oh, what brings you here?
I am in search of a room, and rumour has it yours are the best kept and most welcoming in Paris.
My dear Monsieur Chirac, come in.
So, after Madame Foucault left, you decided to stay?
Everything I have is here now.
And Madame Foucault?
Her young man returned.
Ah. You know it is only a matter of time before the Germans come.
Is there no hope we might defeat them?
None. It will be a bad business.
You could leave.
I'm a journalist, madame. My place is here, where the story is unfolding. I must stay and see it through. I have also a colleague in need of a room. Might you accommodate both of us?
Oh, with pleasure.
You've made this house clean and wholesome. It is more like a home than a boarding house. You are full of surprises, madame.
We are all adrift, Monsieur Chirac. We might as well be comforted by what's around us.
I'll fetch my things.
What are we doing? I feel like a fish merchant pushing this wagon through the street.
We will buy more than we can carry, if we're lucky. There's word they have potatoes in the market. They are twice the usual price, but within a week there'll be more again. We shall need sausage, prunes, coffee, tinned vegetables, fruit, and bread and cheese. As my mother used to say, anyone who has bread, cheese, and water has a complete diet.
You must miss her, your mother.
We can store the grains and beans and tinned goods. They will be more than food in the future. They will be currency. What good is money in a siege? You cannot eat it.
You are a wonder, madame. And I hear you rented your own room to the factory worker from Lyon.
I can easily sleep in the old servant's bedroom. All I need is a bed, and I spend very little time there.
And rumour has it that you've charged him an extra 50 francs a month, as the room has a piano in it.
That's correct.
Even though the poor man doesn't play the piano.
Well, this will be his opportunity to learn.
You appear to be afraid of nothing, madame.
Oh, I always long to see Paris. Now I must take her as she comes.
Madame, is that you?
Oh, The doors are locked, Monsieur Chirac. The other men have gone to do guard duty on the ramparts.
So all is well. Then be careful.
I'm not afraid, Mr. Chirac.
Madame, we saw your light from the window in the attic.
I'm the proprietress. I was working on the accounts.
Perhaps you are a spy, madame.
A spy?
You are not French.
Non, mais écoutez.
No, silence! You are a foreigner. And this is hardly a part of Paris I would expect to see a respectable lady.
I am English, yes. And to use my candle at night where it might be seen was certainly foolish. But I am no spy. France is my home now. And Paris my heart. I love her. Only now when she is at risk do I know how much. And this house may not be in a better part of the city, but it is a good house. Giving shelter and comfort to good people. You have nothing to fear from me, and you're welcome to visit us or even to stay. For as a soldier, you know what it is to be far away from everything you hold dear. Do you wish to enter and search the house? If so, you are welcome.
No, madame. There's no need. Excuse me. I bid you good night.
You are extraordinary, madame.
I have discovered that having courage is largely about how well you can pretend to have it.
Shall I make you some hot tea?
I am the proprietress.
This time, allow me to make it.
Thank you. Sitting here in the dark, it reminds me of...
What?
I used to share a bedroom with my sister, Con. We talked to each other after Mother turned the light down on the landing.
I see you think of them often, your people.
And you? Do you have family?
I've been traveling a long time.
Do you think the Prussians will break through the barricades?
I won't lie. No one knows. And even if they don't...
What is it?
The smallpox. Danger is all around us.
We're too young to die.
You think so?
I know it. Here. Look what I have. Dried figs. I had to barter 2 sheets and a bar of soap for them. Have one.
Thank you. What brought you here?
Madness. I was so very convinced that my own life was a tragedy when really I was just young.
I wish I'd known you then.
I was quite dreadful. I'm much better now. You are very kind and forgiving, Monsieur Chirac. You never ask questions that are too familiar. You accept people as they are, seeing the best in them.
I see enough trouble in the world. I encourage myself to believe people are good.
Then I will believe it too. Let's have another fig and imagine we are far away in Turkey.
All right.
It is no longer night, and we are no longer trapped.
No longer at war.
And the sun shines upon our faces.
And we are still young.
I see you're getting on with things.
Shouldn't you be at the works?
I've just come up for a bit of breakfast. Everything's all right. I say, Father, I shall want the keys to the desk and all that.
Keys to the desk? What on earth do you want the keys for?
Well,
Have you got them in your pocket? You needn't take any off. I expect I know which is which. Thanks. And I say, about signing and endorsing checks, they tell me at the bank that if you sign a personal authority over to me to do it for you, that will be enough. Well, what about it?
Do you think I'm going to let you sign my checks for me? You're taking too much on yourself, my lad.
Part of it.
I tell you, you're taking too much on. Get about your business and don't act the fool. You didn't think you were going to be God Almighty because you got up a bit earlier for once and went down the shop before breakfast.
Well, then who is going to sign the checks?
I am.
But you know what the doctor said?
What did he say?
He said you weren't to do anything at all. And you said you wouldn't.
Well, I reckon I can sign checks. So it's got to that. I can't sign my own name now. I shall show some of you whether I can sign my own name.
Well, you know it isn't simply signing them. If I bring checks up to you to sign, you'll be worrying about them at once and there'll be no end to it. You'd be much better...
Shut up!
All right.
And I'll tell you another thing. You were impudent to go to the bank like that without asking me first. They tell you at the bank. They tell you at the bank. Anything else they told you at the bank?
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Stifford said to leave the samples for Carrington's on the table.
Yeah, it's all right, James. Father gave me the keys to make sure everything was up to date in the safe.
Oh, that's as it should be.
I've been keeping figures for the works all these years and never seen the cash book.
Well, Master always liked to keep that to himself.
I've got the general accounts, the deeds of the new house up at Bleakridge, investments.
Oh, Mr. Tanner, who was here before him, he wasn't orderly. But the Master, oh, he was like a new broom. A place for everything.
What on earth?
I've seen the Master put a lot of old papers in there betimes.
It's a map. Staffordshire. Drawn and coloured without help by my son, Edwin, aged 9. I copied it from the map in Lewis's Gazetteer. I had no idea Father kept it. He's had it all this time.
Proud of you, the Master is. Always was.
I'll come through to you in a moment, James.
Yes, Mr. Edwin.
You've not felt poorly again, Mr. Clayhanger?
No. Tell me this, Doctor, and tell me straight, for I have decisions pressing upon me and the talk I need at this moment is plain, with no shilly-shallying.
Fair enough. What do you want to know?
Days are that I feel right in myself and able. I've worked since I were a lad. I don't know life without work. I've not lolled around.
I can believe that.
Days are that I can't tell what's what. My own name seems strange to me. Even a child knows how the world is, but now I feel like I don't know it. I'm in a fog and sinking. What I need to know is, am I dying?
Yes, Darius. It will be a little while, but yes. This will become worse, and then you'll weaken and pass.
Aye. I thought as much. I'm grateful to you, Doctor.
Darius, we're all dying. We do not know the time nor the place. Try to take each day as it comes.
Aye. Must get on.
Everybody back to work.
Come back to work.
Excuse me, Mr. Edwin, but the Master's in the square. We thought you'd best know. He's standing opposite the chapel and he's looking this way.
I'm coming. Hello, Father. Where are you off to?
You must know, I'm going to the bank to sign that authority about cheques.
Oh, good. I'll go with you if you like.
Happen it'll be as well. I'm going this road.
What for?
I'm going this road.
All right. I'll trot round with you.
I want my name taken off that club.
Oh, Father, I'm sure there's no need. You might still like to go down to the Conservative Club of an evening.
I'm done with it. And the Liberals. I can't be done with them, and that's a fact.
Of course.
You've heard about young Albert?
No.
Wants to borrow £1,000.
When did this happen?
Did they say naught to you?
No. Not a thing.
Some tale as Albert can amalgamate into partnership with Hope and Carters if he can put down £1,000. You wouldn't do it, would you?
Certainly not. Unless, of course, you really want to.
Looks to me as if they can't wait till my will's open.
Made a will, have you?
Duncalf's got it.
When we get home, you might like a shave. Shall I send the barber up?
What do you think?
I think maybe you should let it grow. You used to have a full beard once, didn't you?
I did.
Then why not let it grow?
Good morning. Mr. Price.
In the yard, sir.
I'm obliged. Oh, Mr. Price, good morning.
Oh, Mr. Minus.
Forgive me if this is an inconvenient time.
Oh, now, sir. As good as any. I'll show you what we've got here, though it's not much.
I'd be grateful.
Follow me.
In truth, I always meant for the business to grow, but this works was cheap, so I took it, and it can't be mended. The ground's neither good nor level, and the building's in poor repair.
But such things can be remedied, surely?
Aye, with capital, but if I were to do it all again, I'd say begin with things in good condition. To remedy and expand at the same time is like driving an overloaded horse up a hill, starting out at a disadvantage.
So, this is your packing room?
Oh, it's not much. We make mostly biscuit ware. It's easy and cheap, and there'll always be a market.
But it doesn't bring a good price.
Aye. Happened we had the new machinery, a mite more to invest. We could make comely ware, and I'd be proud to, but such things need money.
Oh, you keep just a few girls for the decoration of the plates?
Aye.
But the older women are more skilled?
Aye. You've noticed the conditions of the workers, their hands, the chests of the men who work at the kiln. Mm.
Well, I know that the work is arduous.
A man or a woman of 40 is largely broken by the conditions of their labour. The men from breathing in the ash, the women from the lead, and painting 10 hours a day. If they can find an easier works to spend their later years, they'll tip themselves off.
What's the remedy then, Mr. Price? For surely we want to keep the workers who've learnt their craft.
All in all, I'd say the best way would be to make good conditions from the start where it's possible. If I had my time again and the capital, I'd make an establishment where my people are warm and cared for. Mm-hmm. Where they don't have to destroy their bodies to make a plate or a teapot. I sometimes wonder when a lady is supping a cup of tea in a Manchester hotel, does she ever stop to think of the condition of the poor creature who made the vessel she places to her lips?
You're a socialist, Mr. Price.
That's a Christian, Mr. Minus. Blessed are the poor. We are all and every one of us our brother's keeper.
I'm obliged.
Oh, Mr. Minus.
Yes?
You look like a man who has it in him to make something of himself.
I hope so.
Don't be afeard to set out with righteous principles. In the struggle of life, it can sometimes be all that is left to us.
I'm grateful to you, Mr. Price.
The most extraordinary thing, Edwin. I read it in the library today.
Oh, yes?
There is to be a cat show at the Crystal Palace.
I'm sorry, Auntie. What kind of show?
An exhibition of cats. There will be cats from all over the world.
You mean displayed?
For prizes. Try and eat your meat, Darius. You need to keep up your strength.
Yes, Dad. And let me put some potatoes on your plate. If you had a cat, you could enter.
I've never had a cat, although I am quite partial to birds. Perhaps a songbird in my old age.
What's the matter, Father?
Darius, dear, your knife and fork.
What is it?
You have them in the wrong hands, dearest.
Ah, that's it. Yes, Dad, you must have got muddled.
This business is beyond me.
Tell you what, Dad, why don't I show you?
No, let me be.
Leave go. How can I show you if you don't leave go?
Now, Darius, now. I know. Why don't I cut it up for you? Don't you think, Edwin, that you could find time to return Janet Orgreave's invitations? She's been so good coming over to see your father, but you always seem to miss her.
Yes, I must.
There you are, dear. Oh, I shall keep the knife, and then you won't get muddled. Don't upset yourself.
Yes, Dad. What do knives and forks matter, eh?
Try a bit of sausage. You're quite safe. We're here.
And then we'll have coffee and a smoke. What do you say?
It's good of you to meet with me, Mr. Tellwright.
If you have questions, miners, you'd best ask them. I haven't got all night.
I'll get to the point. This town has a kiln upon every street corner. Every other man seems to be set on making a living from clay. Yet not all are successful, and I would be a dunce not to look about me for a successful man and ask his advice when it comes to setting up my own enterprise.
You expect my help? What have you done to help yourself?
I've spoken with proprietors, big and small. Copley up at Hambridge and Titus Price at Toft End.
Titus Price? His place is a ruin.
He rents from you, I believe.
It's not worth my while to throw him out. But it's true, Price is a good lesson in how you should not conduct yourself in business.
If you were my age, beginning anew, but armed with what life's taught you, what might you see as your guiding principle?
I would say to you, invest in the future. Machinery is coming, and it will do the work better and with less trouble than workers who complain and err.
You recommend embracing progress?
I reckon as soon as man discovered fire, he said about using it, we should be the same. Make your decisions with your head and not your fancy. Titus Price barely makes enough money to feed himself, yet he keeps an old woman to paint his pot, and she's half blind. Taking pity on her will serve neither him nor her.
I'm grateful to you, sir.
I'll expect the favour returned when you set up. I might have need of some wear.
Of course.
Is that you?
Don't worry, Mrs. Wayman. Yes, just me. It's late for you to be out.
I went to a chapel meeting in Hambridge. I stayed talking afterwards too long.
Are you completely well now? After that dreadful business?
As I'll ever be. Are you visiting someone?
My father's not well. It's hard to see it. I needed to get some air.
It's a great sadness to watch someone we love failing.
Yes, it is. I hear you're going to rebuild your little chapel.
Yes. We don't know how. The Lord will provide.
Mr. Orgreave told me once that place was about ideas. He has great respect for ideas, as I do. I shall be delighted to see the place rise again.
Thank you. Good luck, sir.
What with?
Your hopes. Whatever they may be. Good night, Mr. Clayhanger.
Good night.
So you've decided to sell yourself to the grocer in the back room?
I'm sorry?
I hear you, madam. Getting up in the early hours. Do you think I don't see the way he looks at you?
He devours you with his eyes.
Monsieur Chirac, please.
And you move about the house at night.
The guns keep me awake. I wanted to see the time.
You were in his room only the other day.
I served him breakfast.
I waited up for you tonight. Perhaps you came to find wine to take to him in bed.
Oh, you should be ashamed, and you will wake the others.
Oh, yes, I forgot. We are a respectable house.
If you refer to Monsieur Niepce, he is not in his room. He has gone to see his children. Go and look if you like. And here is my watch. Stopped. Which will prove I came down to the kitchen because I was in need of the time.
Madame, Sophia, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Is that how you see me?
No, never. It's just, I cannot stop thinking of you. You fill all my thoughts, my life. I've been a fool to speak to you so. I've wounded you. Forgive me.
What a shame. Oh, what a shame.
Good morning.
Mr. Chirac.
Madame, I've been thinking. I must leave you.
Why?
Well, my newspaper has stopped. My salary is gone.
You can pay me when you have money.
I have no intention of accepting your kindness.
If you have no money, you will be forced to get into debt somewhere.
Yes, but not here. Not to you.
If it is about what you said to me last night, the mistake you made...
Will you do something for me? Have lunch with me. I would like to talk to you, and we cannot talk here.
You're mad. Have lunch. The city is close to starvation.
Please. I'd like to offer you something. Just once.
Do you have it?
Janet!
Yes, I do.
Edwin, you are a wonder!
It came in from London yesterday.
London? This is it. Wilkie Collins.
I'm glad you like it.
Do you know how critical he is of the state of marriage? This book rehearses every argument as a novel. How clever. Let me pay you.
No. It's a gift.
A gift?
I can give you a gift, can't I?
Oh, Edwin, that's sweet.
So you feel as Mr. Collins feels?
About what?
You don't think marriage is a good thing?
What a strange question to come from nowhere.
Not from nowhere. You said the book.
Well, I'm sure it suits some women.
My aunt said...
What did she say?
Well...
Was it about me? I expect half the town is wondering whether I'll turn out to be the Bursley spinster.
You're not old.
No. But it's different for you. It's quite encouraged for men to marry late in life, but no one wants an older woman. Anyway, it's academic. I've never been asked. Thank you, Edwin. I love the book. I shall go home and devour it. How's your father?
Confused. It's awful, really.
No one tells us what to do about growing old.
No one seems to tell us what to do about anything.
What do you mean?
Well, what's the point of going to school if you come away with not the slightest idea about life? About death?
Well, algebra trumps real life any time.
If I ever write a book, I'd recommend every man and woman tries to spend a little time each day learning what they want to learn. Something they're interested in. The problem with work is it steals your life. Our time is all we have. It's everything.
I'd buy it.
What?
That book. If you wrote it.
I'd have to write all the other books in my head first.
Come and have lunch at the Liberal Club.
You mean take you to lunch at the Liberal Club?
We can discuss all your ideas and I can tell you how good they are. Say yes.
All right. Yes.
Apparently we are eating half a duck, captured outside the city by one of the chef's army of vandals.
Let's hope that's all it is. Did you hear they've butchered the elephants in the Jardin des Plantes?
How sad.
When I was young, an elephant came to our town with a travelling show.
Did you get to see it?
No. I wish I had.
My dear madam, you're shivering. You have some wine. At least there's still wine.
What are you thinking?
I was wondering what I would have done if you had refused to come today.
And what would you have done?
Been very silly, I suspect. There's nothing for it but to tell you. My dear friend, I love you.
You mustn't say that.
But you have to know how I feel. No other woman could have drawn herself out of the impossible situation you found yourself in. To me, you're unique.
My poor Monsieur Chirac. I ought not to have come.
But why?
I can't love you back.
I thought that's what you might say. But I wanted to tell you. You see, I'm going away, out of Paris.
How can you do that? The city gates have been closed for months.
By balloon. My newspaper offered it to me. I can write about the experience.
But isn't it dangerous?
It's all the same to me.
To fly in the sky like a bird, it's unimaginable.
Will you come to say goodbye?
What are you trying to do to me, monsieur? Make me responsible for your unhappiness and death.
No. No. Please. I beg you. I never meant that.
Then why do you want me to come?
Because you are all I care for in Paris, and I would miss you terribly if you were not there. We've been friends, haven't we?
You were the best friend to me when I was abandoned.
Well then, you need not concern yourself. I won't ever speak to you again about love. I know it's useless, but I hope you'll come and say goodbye.
Edwin? Edwin?
What's wrong, Auntie?
The front door is open. Your father's gone out.
What time is it?
2 in the morning.
Edwin. I'm sorry. I didn't know who else to go to.
What's amiss?
It's Father. He's gone missing. I've tried the works, the Conservative Club, the Dragon.
I'll get me coach.
Excuse me. Can I get through? Mr. Chirac! Mr. Chirac!
Over here, madame! Madame Skins!
Okay.
There are people all the way to the river.
It's quite a sight.
It's so tall. As tall as a house.
She's quite something. A house of silk, soon to be floating in the sky.
The Germans will shoot at you.
They'll try. But the night is dark and we have luck on our side. Well, the moment.
Did you take the food?
Thank you.
Here's some more wine. If you get captured, you can bribe the soldiers with it.
You think of everything.
Is the wind in the right direction?
Nearly. Well, madame, it was very good of you to come. I wanted you to be here. It's because of you I'm leaving Paris.
Please, Monsieur Chirac.
Don't be angry. It's not my fault I'm in love with you. This may be the last time we see each other. Let me remember your eyes.
Take care. If it's possible to take care in a balloon.
I will. Goodbye.
Goodbye! Au revoir!
Vive le décollage! Levez l'ange!
Yes?
I shall never forget you! Goodbye!
Adieu!
I have seen the lark so high at morn, heard his song up in the I have heard the blackbird pipe his note, the thrush and the linnet too. But there's none of them.
Up in the master's just wondering. He won't have gone far.
But he's not as he used to be, James. He rarely leaves the house and never alone. He can't tend to himself anymore.
Don't you worry, Mr. Edwin. Even when ailing, the part of a man that's essential is never lost. He'll have taken himself someplace familiar.
But where?
We'll try the chapel next. And then your old house.
But why would he go there?
Old folk get comfort from what's known to them. Past and present is often a muchness in the mind, and to wander brings relief. You follow me, Mr. Edwin. He won't be far.
I don't even know if he had his coat on.
At least it's not raining no more.
You don't suppose he might have walked out of town? There's disused mine shafts, and in this darkness...
What's that?
Father? Dad, what are you doing here?
I've got to find some kindling. I'll look down yon.
Dad, it's the middle of the night.
Well, I'll get a thrashing if I've not found it. The kiln'll need feeding.
Father, please.
Let go of me. I told you I've got to start at my work.
Let me, Mr. Edwin.
If I had a shovel, I could take a few embers while the fireman's at his rest.
I can help you with that if it's the fire that needs starting.
I have to get it lit, you see. It's my duty.
Oh, we'll get it lit. You come with me. I know just where to find some embers.
Aye, all right.
Then will you walk alongside now? We'll soon be there. Come along, Mr. Edwin. We'll make our way up yon hill.
Do you have any bread?
Of course we have bread, Father.
Or porridge. Mother gives me porridge.
We'll make porridge when we get there. All will be well. You'll see.
Here we are now, Dad. Do you know this place?
Of course I know it. It's my house.
Will you go inside?
I'll sit on the step a bit.
Do you want me to stay, Mr. Edwin?
No. Thank you, James. He seems peaceful now. You've been very good. Thanks. Can I sit with you, Dad, for a bit?
Aye.
I'll get cold. Put my coat around you.
Here.
What's this?
I want you to have it. You're the master now. You should have a good watch.
You'll need it, Dad. You like to know the time.
Aye. Well, give me yours, and it'll be all right. When we're young, we think we have no end of time. And when we're old, time is all we think of.
Be all right. You'll feel better soon.
It's right that the old should make room. I don't mind. As long as I see your mother again. Do you think I will?
Yes. She loved you, didn't she?
Aye. I've made mistakes about you, boy. I know. But you have my watch now. And you'll remember me giving it to you. You'll remember this night.
I will, Dad.
The printing works. I know you have no love of it, but the place is like my flesh and bone. It's what I made, you see, to make something of myself, and no one thought I ever would. Those machines, the wooden floors, the smell of the paper and the ink. It's all I have to show for having lived. It'll be yours soon. You'll do what you will with it.
I'll never sell it. I'll keep it always and protect it. I promise you, Dad. The Clayhanger Works will be safe in my hands for as long as I live.
In Chinatowns, inspired by the novels of Arnold Bennett and dramatised by Lynn Coughlin and Sean McKenna, Ethan Tellwright was played by Neil Dudgeon and Darius Clayhanger by Tim McInerney. Edwin was Cameron Percival, Big James, Ian Conningham, Auntie Hamps, Carolyn Pickles, and Janet, Saffron Coomber. Sophia was Alexandra Constantinidi, Madame Foucault, Carolyn Lonk, and Chirac, Charlie Anson. Henry Miners was Joseph Kloska, Titus Price, Michael Burtonshaw, Dr. Heave, Tony Turner, Cassie, Jeanette Percival, and Man, Christopher Harper. Incidental music was arranged by Colin Guthrie and performed by Colin Guthrie, Peter Ringrose, and Ian Conningham. Songs were performed by members of the company. The director was Gemma Jenkins.